Let me walk you into our Sunday night experience here at First Baptist Brandenburg. I pray the Lord bless you real good. Hope you've had a good day. Thank God for a good, warm, sunny day today. It's been a blessing to see the weather warm up a little bit. We're praying about the ministries in our churches across America as we're beginning to find ways and principles to try to open it up. We're working on that very hard here at First Baptist. We'll be meeting this week, talking more about it so we can get all that in place. And we just pray you pray for us as we just find a way to bring us back into fullness again. Tonight I want to preach a message in the book of Jude. I'm going to finish up this book. I did actually a four-part series into this. And today I'm going to finish up. I did half of a sermon last week. And my wife on the way home from church today, she says, "Now, Ron, that was a good sermon, but it was pretty long. And so I hope this one isn't too long tonight, for the Lord to bless us in a very special way. My wife has always encouraged me. She said, "It was good, but it was just long." She's special to me. All right. Now, let me take a moment and bring us up to speed. Jude is writing this book. He is brother James, grew up in Jesus' house. He is a great warrior for the Lord. He wanted to encourage the servants of Christ. He wanted to talk about their mercy and peace and love being multiplied and all that. He was going to talk about their worship and what it means concerning salvation and how blessed it is. But he said that right in the middle of this, the Lord contended his heart that he would write to deal with the faith issues in your church, to build your faith. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of the Lord. And to become faithful, strong, because there had been people who had slept into the church and they were teaching some false doctrine. They were taking people away from the word and the truth of Christ. And says, we need to get back to the faith of the word of Christ. So he contended with them. He took God and he turned into lasciviousness, the grace of Christ. In other words, whatever you want to do, just do it. You're under grace. Don't worry about it. God's going to take care of you. Just go for it. Live in an ungodly way. So Jude was bringing them back to correction. It's a fiery book. It gets to the point. It doesn't soft soap anything. And so when I preach this tonight, I want to give you a little background. He opens the book, contending for faith. Faith that will change a life and change people's lives around them. And don't get sidetracked by false doctrines and false leaders. Then he reminded them that when you live ungodly, there is punishment. In verse 5, he said, "I'll remind you, though once you knew this, that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterwards destroyed those who would not believe." So he says, I just won't put up with it. He said, so, and I want you to remember about Sodom and Gomorrah and the immorality that was happening in that town. He just rained down fire and brimstone, and he tore it up. He burned it up. It's gone. And so he said, don't forget about the judgment of God. The judgment of God is real. He says, contend for your faith. Keep your judgment real. Then he moves us into worship. And he kind of critiques their worship. He kind of tells them how kind of unreal it was. It wasn't spiritual. It wasn't godly. It was kind of a pecking order. There was a seniority and there was a favoritism. You know, the one thing about church, we're all sinners saved by grace. We've all got the same label. I don't care academically where we are. I don't care financially where we are, socially where we are, or by age. We are just children of God. And when we meet in God's house, we come to worship God. And none of us can make it apart from the grace of Christ. The Bible teaches us when you think that you're on your way and you got it worked out, you're in trouble. We all need fellowship. We all need to worship. We're all needy people together. So here in this worship service, in the communion service he was referring to in the book of Corinthians, they were having communion. Jesus taught his disciples. He transferred the Passover meal to the communion meal for the New Testament church. And let me just ask you a question about your membership in the New Testament church. Are you enjoying your membership? Is your membership important to you? Is it something that you adhere to and you're proud of? I talk to people all kinds. They got all kinds of ideas about church membership. Let me share this with you. When I got saved, Christ came into my heart, and I was born again. I was saved plus nothing. I wasn't baptized and saved. I was just saved. I asked Christ, he forgave me. But then, In Matthew chapter 18, he commissioned his church. He says, Peter, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell won't stand against it. So his church is important to him. In Acts 20:28, the Bible says that he shed his blood for the church. Anytime God shed blood for anything is important. He shed it for the remission of my sins, and he shed blood for the church. It's the bride of Christ. Now, that's the bride. I don't care if you're in a Methodist church, Catholic, Baptist, Pentecost, whatever you may be in, but you need to have a church membership. Let me tell you why you need to have a church membership. Because the Bible says, when he comes to rapture out his church, we're going to glory in the rapture. That's church membership. Now, I know that maybe you've been hurt in church membership. I've been hurt in church membership. I know it's part of the journey. I know it happens. But don't ever give up on your church membership. It's important to you because it's the bride of Christ. In the world that we live in today that's more confusing, that it's lackadaisical and lasciviousness, just do what you want, we need to have a correction, and the house of God is where we find help in that correction. And you need to be a member of it. You need to be a good member of it. You need to be a tithing member of it. You need to be a praying member of it. You need to support your church. Because the longer I live in this world, the more I enjoy the church membership more. It's important to you. So some people say, I don't want to really join a church. I want to get connected. Well, let me tell you something. You'll never be a disciple of Christ because discipling comes to the New Testament church and the bride. And join one. Be part of it. May the Lord bless you in a very special way. So he's trying to contend for the church membership. He's trying to make it strong, disciple us to be all that it wants to be. And so he warns us about losing our faith or walking away from it. He warns us about the judgment. God will judge you. And he brings us to that worship experience. Now, in verse 12, he says, there are spots in your love feast that while they feast with you without fear, serving only themselves, they are clouds without water. Now, what happened there in the book of Corinthians? They were having communion service. Some reason, the pecking order came. Politics got a part of it. Prestige got a part of it. And all the rich folk and all the elite folk were sitting down and having a big fancy meal at the Lord's communion. And the poor folks were cast out. They were rejected. They weren't welcomed as often. They never got to be part of it. And so they abused that. And here's what he says. If you're one of those churches that come together in communion, and I want to share this with you. Communion isn't a time to correct our lives. Communion is a time to celebrate the correction that God gave in our lives and to put us in remembrance and to get closer to Him and to walk in fellowship with Him. It's important to do that. And if you think that you can live like the world or fight and hate somebody and sit in church and take communion and it's all right, it's not all right. He says you need to weigh it out. You need to look at this because you can bring harm onto yourself. He said there in 1 Corinthians in verse 30, chapter 11, that some people have died because they've abused this. Some people became sickly among them. God takes it real serious. But he says, in your love feast, in the communion, in your worship service, you have literally served your clouds without water. Let me share this with you. If you've ever lived through a drought, we've all had times where we lived where there was droughts, and you see a big cloud come up, man, it is refreshing to see a cloud coming. Man, there's a potential in that cloud to have rain and to bring back green and bring back harvest and bring back all kinds of fruit. Thank God for the cloud. And there's nothing more disappointing than when the cloud goes over and leaves and doesn't drop a drop of water. He says the church is like a cloud. It comes, it brings hope, it brings peace. It brings love. It brings joy. And he says, your church is clouds with no love, no peace, no joy. So if your church membership has got so far away from Christ, he says your church is like water, clouds without water. We're just about useless. We bring false hope. We bring false truths to people's lives. So we need to be discipled. We need to be people who represent hope in the house of God. You know, we are trying to open up our church and trying to find a way to do that with all the regulations we have with the virus that is going on in America today. Boy, it's hard to open a church and can't say for whosoever will just come. Because there's all kinds of limitations on size and groups and all kinds of things like that that just hinders a little bit. And we're trying to work through that. But let me tell you something. The greatest sinner in this world is always welcome to the house of God. This is where lives are changed. And if we think that there's certain people that we can't worship with because of their sins, just remember, sin is sin to God. And He specializes in forgiving us. So we must be clouds with love, clouds with grace and peace. That kind of takes us through where we were last week. And now He says, carried about by the winds, late autumn trees without fruit, twice dead, pulled up by the roots. No fruit. The fruit of the Spirit, that peace, that love, that joy, that meekness, that faith. Let me share this with you. When you squeeze an orange, you get orange juice. And when you squeeze a Christian who's living in the fruit of the Spirit of Christ, you get love. You get joy. You get peace. And in your life, if you're not Spirit-filled and they squeeze you, what comes out of you is you. What comes out of you is your attitude, your rejection, your words. So the real picture of my Christianity is when I'm sitting there in a hurry at a red light, and the light turns green, and that person sitting there making a career out of getting through that red light, when I'm in a hurry, I feel like honking my horn. Honk, honk. I feel like just a little tap on the back bumper. Haven't we all done that? Haven't we been to that point in life? Well, let me tell you something. When I'm Spirit-filled, this is what I say. One day I'm going to be old like that. Lord, help me give him patience. One day, man, he maybe doesn't understand what's going on right now. Just be with him in a special way. See, a Spirit-filled person always addresses things differently than a flesh. My flesh is all about me. My spirit is all about a Savior and His love to the world. So he says, we become fruitless. And the world squeezes us. You know what's wrong with most churches? They're churches that are born again with good faith, but never got to better faith. And when they squeeze you, they get you. Then you say things. Then you hurt people. Then other people hurt people. Then all of a sudden we have a church full of people who are just divided by personality and principles and nothing to do with faith. That is a fruitless church. Now, we all need help. There's all times in our lives we're not perfect. We blow this. I have said many times things that I wish I wouldn't have said. I've done many things I wish I wouldn't have done. But I hope I'm always man enough to forgive people who I've hurt or have hurt me. I hope I'm man enough to admit it and godly enough to see it so we can produce fruit. Because your church membership is very important to God. It's His bride. And He'd like for His bride to look good and talk good. And when we talk in spiritual things and loving people, that's a bride that He will bless. You know, you often wonder why churches don't grow. Maybe the preaching isn't good enough, or maybe the singing isn't good enough. I tell you why it don't grow. The fruit's not good enough. The godliness, the love, the forgiveness will stop a church. This past week, I guess I've talked to, I think, about five people who are down on the church. And they give me reasons why they're down on the church. They told me what happened. And I sit there and watch them cry and tell me how hurt they are. Like they've been through a divorce. I hear that. But here's what I tell them. Your church member is worth being restored. Forgive. Walk in the Spirit. Be loyal to the bride. Because where you are now, you're never going to get over it. You're never going to get better. Church membership needs to be discipled and loved and get back together again. You know, it's pretty hard to divorce a church. The Bible says He places people in churches that pleases Him with our spiritual gifts. And if God put you here, I pray that you could be the cloud that produces that love, joy, and peace in worship. Make a difference in your life. And if not, realize it. That's what Jude is trying to say. And fruit, trees without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Then he says, you become like raging waves of the sea, foaming up their own shame. You ever walk down an ocean when there has been a big storm the night before and the wind blew and all the water came, you walk out on an ocean. You know what's out there? All the trash in that ocean is now on the beach. And if you have a big, beautiful beach, people got to go through there and clean up all the trash and the junk so they can enjoy the beach the next day. He says the church is like waving waves of the sea, foaming up their own shame, wandering stars from when they're reserved in blackness and darkness forever. And so sometimes a church just brings all the trash and just dumps it and just leaves it. It makes the church look ugly, gives it a bad reputation, a bad rap. And so I want you to understand this. We need to have love, joy, and peace. We need to have trees that produces the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. And we need to actually have a picture of the world, and all the trash of the world doesn't need to land in the church and stay here. It's important for the church membership to take discipleship and keep it alive. And when those seas come, it's foaming out of the shame. Large storms shows all of our garbage. Have a storm in a church, and you know what you'll hear from its members? Garbage. I want to talk about the storm. I want to talk about all the trash. I want to talk about all the problems. I want to talk about what he or she did or didn't do. Let me share this with you. They are our brothers and sisters in Christ. The ocean brings all the trash out. And a warship that doesn't cleanse produces trash. Wandering stars. You know, wandering star, there's one of those stars that just goes through the world, just never stops, just wandering. Just always having light in the wrong places. And they go through life, they never worship a king. It's like people come to this church for 6 weeks and love it. Go to that church for 6 weeks and love it. Go to that church, they're just wandering stars. They never really bring any light to the study, to the subject. They're just wandering. So, he says we got to be careful. He said all the examples of what happens when we lose our faith, we walk out of fellowship, we're not discipled, we become people who are just wandering through, never stay. You know, some people, when they go through a divorce, and it's a painful thing, and I have no idea. I've worked with hundreds of people through that process. I have no idea. It's got to hurt more than I could ever imagine. Some people deal with it this way. They want to get over it real quick, so they want to go find somebody else and get married, just like they can ignore it. Let me share this with you. If you ever go through a divorce, let me give you some little counsel. Wait at least a year for you to heal so you can be ready for a new relationship. At least a year to bring healing to your spirit, because you'll always be playing the comparison game. You'll always be more judgmental. You'll always dump all the trash from that last mate into this mate. It always is there. And so when you really make a decision to join a church, don't get mad at this church and run out of the street and just ignore it, because all the trash you picked up down there, you're going to dump in this one. You're not healed. You're hurt. You're angry. You're trying to get over it all the wrong way. Take your time. Find a place. Find a way to serve and to be part of God's kingdom. Don't be a wandering star. Make it all that you can. Don't dump all your garbage and all the stuff. And let me share this with you. My wife is named Kathy. We've been together for a long time. I love her. If I ever heard you talk bad things about my wife, there would be something to raise up inside of me that would want to get in my flesh. You know why? That's my wife. You don't talk bad about my wife. And let me remind you, this church is the bride of Christ. This is his bride. And you don't need to ever talk bad about his bride, because it breaks his heart. I wonder how many church members get on the phone every Monday morning and talk about all the trash in their lives and in their churches. Shame on you. Shame on us. This is the house of God. It's not perfect. There's clouds without water. There's trash in the ocean. It's in our midst. But this is the house of God. You don't need to repeat it to a lost world. You don't need to talk about all the trash. Let me tell you where the news media are today. if a news media could find somebody in the house of God somewhere that's fallen and caught into an immoral act, they'll put it on big news, man. They'll make it CBS, ABC. They want to trash the church. Don't ever trash the church. My mama told me if you can't say anything good about something, don't say anything at all. Whenever I walk into a church family and visiting revivals or time and preaching for a while, there's always a group of people who just want to tell me just what happened to that church. And it irritates me. Because that's the bride of Christ, and we don't need to be talking about the trash in the bride of Christ. That's what he's talking about in Jude. That's what's going through the air. There's no spirit. There's no love. All there is judgment. All there is ridicule. All there is about the money. It's about the worship. You know, deacons become so involved in the offerings on Sunday morning, they forgot about the lost souls going to hell on Monday morning. Trustees can be more concerned about the roof not leaking and then the brokenness of the hearts of people in the pew. It's real easy to get there. All you have to do is not be discipled. All you have to do is not pay attention. All you do have to come to church and go home and just be a cloud without water. That's what Jude's talking about. He's talking about being accountable to the house of God, to the people of God. Live in faith. We're going to not be perfect. There's going to be trash in church. There's going to be things hurt in church. But we don't carry the trash. We don't project the trash. We forgive. We take time to heal. We take time to reassure ourselves. And we take time to build the bride. Yeah, I believe when God calls the church home today, when the rapture comes, there's going to be some issues that need to be taken care of, and do it now. In verse 14, now Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men also, saying, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000 of the saints in that rapture time. He's going to come to execute judgment. Them all those ungodly deeds which they were committed, his ungodly ways, and all the harsh sayings ungodly sinners had spoken against him. Here's what he says you did in verse 16. They were murmurers, complainers. If you're a member of any church, and if you spend more time complaining than you do edifying, you are in trouble. All you're doing is spreading trash. If all you can see is the problems in a church and never the good, you're blinded. The Bible says he's going to execute judgment. Those who murmur, those who complain. Man, it's just amazing when somebody in the choir messes up or the preacher messes up or somebody in the pew messes up. They want to complain about this or want to complain about that. The preacher didn't hit his marks, this didn't happen, and things didn't go right. Let me tell you something. There needs to be accountability. There needs to be retribution. But we don't walk around carrying the complaining and murmuring to everybody we see. That's gossip in a Baptist church. That's what that is, if you don't know. Walking according to their own lust. Their own hurts are being displayed. Their own pain is being out in front of everybody. And they're blaming the house of God for it. I got some dear people that I love a lot that haven't been in church for years because they blame that church for destroying their lives. I know that's not true. That church didn't destroy their life. They made a choice. They made a choice to walk away, but they're really hurt. There's people who have left First Baptist Church throughout the years, every church throughout the years. And if they never walk back into a church again, their life is miserable to the day they die. Because when God saved us, we become baptized into this bride of Christ and we serve it. Don't walk away. Don't let the murmuring and the complainers walk according to their own lust drive you out. Be bigger than that. Forgive them. Take time to heal. Maybe you just need to go away and just have a little retreat to yourself, you and God. Maybe make a special time to disciple. Maybe buy a book. Open your Bible. Begin to read. God, get me through this. I don't want to be a quitter. I don't want to walk away from the house of God because it's his bride. It's his church. And he died for it. and he established it. And the rock that he built it on, the gates of hell can't stop it. But don't let them stop you because you're a church member. So be careful about that. Murmurers and complainers walking according to their own lust, and their mouth gave great swelling words, flattering people to gain advantage. You know them. They pray their prettiest prayers. They can say the nicest things. They can love on you, and when you turn around, they talk about you. All they do is evaluate you, and they murmur, and they complain. If you're that kind of person with swelling words and flattering people to take advantage, you need to stop it, because in Jude 5 through 7, read those verses, God will correct that. He will chasten. He'll rebuke. He'll scourge. And if need to be, he'll take you out. And you'll leave this world. Because he's not going to let his church members, his children, destroy the kingdom forever. Have a problem with that? Look at Reverend Moses. He could never get anger under control. He got to see the promised land on earth, but he never got to walk in it. I believe when he died in glory, he went to a place called heaven. But he never got to see what he lived for, because he walked away from God and did it his way one time too often. So be careful with that. Be careful with all the things we do when he exposes it. That low murmuring, that complainer, that all they do is what they want to do, and they talk about everything wrong. Clouds without water, no fruit, murmuring, complaining. That just sounds like a Baptist church almost to me. And God help us to change it. God help us to do better. And if you're listening to this tonight, you're probably a discipled Christian to be listening on Sunday night. But we all need help. We all need to move over the bride. Matter of fact, your church needs you more now than ever. Your church needs your prayer support. Your church needs your financial support. Your church needs you to be calling to learn new ways to help people to walk in faith. Your church needs us now more than ever. And you may be one of those sitting home and haven't been in your church for years because you were a murmurer and a complainer, and all you could see was the wrong and everybody in there, and you forgot to look in the mirror because you was a cloud without water. It's real easy to get there. I have been there. I have lived that season. But it needs to stop because it hurts you more than anybody. And here's what happens. You don't even know it. It becomes a lifestyle, and you think that's the way you live. Clouds without water doesn't live very long. So let me encourage you to walk in the faithful in the fullness of Christ. Are you enjoying your church membership? Are you a true disciple? Let me read one more time to you. I read last week in Luke chapter 14, verse 33. Counting the cost. Jude was talking about how important that is. In Luke chapter 14, 33. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaken not of all, that he calleth, he cannot be my disciple. Salt is good, but the salt has lost its savior, wherewith salt shall be not be seasoned. If you are a church member and you have left out and put anybody in front of your life besides Christ, you're not being discipled in the fullness of Christ's love and grace. Don't put anybody before Christ and your church. It'll be a good way to go to sleep tonight, cleaning all that up. So if you've heard this message, you didn't like it, you thought it was a little rough, well, just go home and read Jude by yourself. Just go home and listen to that. Now, I preached this morning how powerful this Word of God is. It's truth. It's a two-edged sword. Cuts in and out. It corrects. It blesses. When I started this series, I felt I had to do this series. Because it isn't a happy moment, but it's a truthful moment. It's a growing moment. And if you're not enjoying your church membership, you need help. Because it's real important to God. And whatever important to God needs to be important to me. It's real important to your family. You know, I don't know ever remember missing church. But if I did, and my kids, my children found out that I didn't go to church because I was mad or because I was hurt, my children would be so concerned about me because they know their dad doesn't live like that. But let me share with you. Just because I haven't lived like that doesn't mean I can't get like that. If I can get hurt enough, tore up enough, broken enough, I could walk away. And if I think that it couldn't happen to me, I'm already in trouble. I have to disciple my life every day to guard against that. I got to. Because Ron Davis has a lot of opinions that aren't God's opinions. I got to protect my relationship with the church. It's important to me because I could walk away. I've been on phone call this past 3 weeks, one of my dear pastor friends who I love, who have been an encourager to me, been a mentor to me in so many ways. I heard a couple weeks ago that there's a relationship been broken there, and so I called him. He's been through a divorce with his wife. He's left the church. He's no longer pastoring. And I sat down and cried. How can that happen to him? He was such a godly man. Such a truthful man. Love like I've never met. And now when I talk to him, it reminds me. It can happen to me too. It can happen to all of us. He's on my high list of prayer right now. But don't ever forget, you can become a murmur, a complainer, a cloud without water, raging waves on the seashore. All the trash can be in your life. Because you walked away from the fullness of discipling God's word in your heart. Be reminded of that and be strong in the power of his might. I hope this message will be truth to you, and I pray it'll bring joy to your heart. It wasn't designed to crush us. It was designed to build us. So may the Lord bless you and prosper you, and may you have a great week. And remember, read Jude. It'll keep you more honest. It'll keep you discipling and loving your church. Thank you for listening. May the Lord bless you. Let me have a prayer with you before I close. Father, the book of Jude is a pointed verse that just reminds me how good you've been to me and how good I need to be to your church, how I need to be established, how I need to be disciplined. And God, you forgive me. I've said a lot of words from pulpits across this land. God, I pray that I could speak them right. And God, when I'm wrong, you correct me. Show me how to do it better. You bless this church, churches across America and our world, in Jesus' name.